This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, the manufacturing sector remains a vital component of the U.S. economy. And to that end, Deloitte just completing a survey about what the labor side of manufacturing needs over the next decade. The report showing the potential of upwards of 3.8 million new jobs, but that also an issue of a skills gap existing. John Kuykendall is leader of the U.S. Industrial Products and Construction Practice for Deloitte. He is also vice chair, and he joins us right now. John, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be here with you and your listeners. I'm in rainy Connecticut, so not too far from your rainy Philadelphia. I certainly concur
with
your sentiment on the
weather. Yeah, it's fun to be on the East Coast these days, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. One of these days it'll get better, I'm sure.
Let's dig into the survey and, I guess, give us the background on the importance of doing a survey like this, looking at the manufacturing sector now and what we may see play out over the next decade.
Sure. You bet, Dan. So this is a study that we have done in partnership with the Manufacturing Institute for over two decades now. We basically refresh it every couple of years. It's particularly important now as we've finally kind of emerged from the pandemic. We all know that manufacturers, like many parts of our economy, face significant headwinds during the pandemic. So we felt it's a really good time to kind of take a look at what's the state of manufacturing. We've had a lot of investments going into the manufacturing sector. We wanted to really understand, when you look at the talent needed to support those investments and support that growth, kind of what's the status of it. And we take a look out at a 10-year period, projecting where manufacturing is going and what that means from a talent standpoint. You hit the high point in your opening. We see a net new 3.8 million jobs within manufacturing over the next decade. And the more interesting part of that, because we always see a need for additional jobs, the interesting part is we also estimate that up to half of those jobs, so 1.9 million, could go unfilled. And you mentioned a skills gap, that's part of it, but there's also an applicant gap. And it's those two together that really create a challenge for manufacturers as you look ahead at the next decade.
So why the applicant gap? I think that's probably the more interesting side to the story right now.
You're exactly right. I think there's always been some level of a skills gap, and I think manufacturers have sort of tried and true ways that they go about helping interested applicants build the right skills. And we can certainly talk about that, and we do talk about it in the paper. But the part that's sort of the new finding, if you will, relative to past studies, is this whole issue of an applicant gap. And when we really dug into that and tried to understand why is that the case, I think there's a few things that we found that are different from past studies. So first of all, think about, again, the pandemic, how that many people shifted to, virtual work. Look, if you work in a manufacturing setting, you weren't working virtually. You were still having to go into the factory, find ways to keep yourself safe while you were still working. And I think we see that kind of play through now as people who might consider manufacturing maybe are thinking again about whether they're going to have the level of flexibility that you might find in other jobs. So we've got that kind of factor. One of the things that I think is really interesting, we've seen a number of companies really taking what I'll call a customer service focus to thinking about their workforce. And really what it means is putting a focus on the talent experience, really understanding, just as you would with your customers, what is it your employees really want? What's going to make them want to work for you in the manufacturing industry? What are the types of things that will help you retain them once you have them? And then also, what are ways that you can sort of expand your applicant pool beyond those who may have traditionally considered manufacturing as a career destination?
So one of the things you bring up in the report is the demand for digital skills. And so many sectors right now are focusing on how AI is going to factor into their business. But there are obviously other elements of corporations where digital has played an increased role over the, say, the last couple of decades. And I guess that's what is driving maybe the interest of some to want to get into this sector is this upward mobility of digital into manufacturing.
You're exactly right. And it's sort of fascinating when we look at some of the data. Just to your point, in the last 5 years, we've seen a 75% increase in demand for simulation type skills. These are often related to technology-enabled production roles or testing roles. Roles like data scientists, engineers, logisticians, computer and information systems managers, all roles that are increasingly critical to manufacturing organizations and seeing tremendous growth. One of the things we've talked about in other reports we've done, a lot of manufacturing companies are putting significant investments into things like Industry 4.0, Smart Factory, artificial intelligence as ways that they can not only run the factory more efficiently, but also really improve the experience of the people they have working for them. And as you point out, those investments, it becomes kind of a force multiplier where young people, new people coming into manufacturing, they come with digital skills. And you think of your right. millennials and Gen Zers, they do everything on their smartphone. And, you know, really interesting conversation I had with a senior executive in manufacturing. He was talking about that. And he said, look, we hire people into manufacturing. They're used to doing everything on their smartphone. And then if you bring them into a factory that's got technology from two decades ago, they don't want to work there. And so it's sort of complementary where as young people come in with those skills, there's also a real expectation that the manufacturing environment is also going to be a digital environment and that you're not going to go back a couple decades to things like green screens that, you know, some of us may have remember seeing early in our careers.
So you bring up an interesting component. Let me ask you this next question. Looking at the younger generations, do they in general have an interest in going into manufacturing, whether it be, and I'll say it maybe even more so on the labor side rather than on the front office side?
Well, I think part of that gets to, you know, ties in with the applicant gap problem. So if the younger generation hasn't been exposed to manufacturing, then they may not even be in a position to know whether they're really interested in it or not. And right. and this is where we've right. seen some really interesting strategies from manufacturing companies where they're building these partnerships and ecosystems in their, you know, in their local geography where they're connecting with technical colleges, other colleges and universities, industry associations, regional economic development agencies, and even in some cases going to the K-12 school system and looking for ways to better connect with potential applicants and open their eyes right. to the possibilities of manufacturing. We heard interesting stories of a company that needs to develop more welders. So one of the things they did is they donated some welding equipment to the local high school. And that now kids who want to get some exposure to what does it mean to be a welder, you actually have some equipment where you can learn from it. The other thing right. that we found really interesting, we also do studies of different sort of demographics, and we recently did a Gen Z and millennial survey. Folks in that demographic bracket place a high priority on just the purpose of the company. Those are things that not all manufacturers yeah. have always thought about. And we found that 40% of workers in that age demographic will turn down a job if they don't think the company aligns with their values or their purpose. Now, we've always seen certain aspects of manufacturing. I always think of aerospace and defense, where many of those workers are former veterans. Many move into that industry out of a sense of duty, patriotism. But I think it's, you know, more broadly, what's the purpose that a given organization has, and how can they attract people in because their values and purpose align?
I find that interesting, because when you think about the connection that people will have, I think the expectation is that, you know, the manufacturing sector provides just, you know, a very strong base when you think about where it has been as a part of the economy, and it's going to continue to be that way. Look, nothing's going to change where all of a sudden the manufacturing sector is totally going to go away. We're talking about an industry that has, you know, has stood the test of time for the most part, you know, for many centuries. And so I think this becomes that much more important to understand where this industry is right now and realistically where it is headed over the next couple of decades, correct?
You're absolutely right. And I think when I was on your show last, I think I made the comment that I think we're really seeing a renaissance in manufacturing. And I think the next decade is going to see significant growth and opportunities. We talked then about the big investments that the U.S. government has made in helping build kind of U.S. manufacturing capability. And I think all that will, you know, provides a tremendous opportunity. One of the other interesting data points is in January of this year, we finally reached back to the level of manufacturing employment that we had prior to the pandemic. So it's been a couple of years to climb back. And again, as I look out ahead, I think we're well positioned to continue to see that growth.
Great to talk with you today. Thanks very much for your time. All the best, John. We will catch up with you again down the road.
Sounds great, Dan. Thanks for having me. Take care.
You got it. John Kuykendall, who is leader of the U.S. Industrial Products and Construction Practice, as well as vice chair with Deloitte. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.